Not spiritually important.
This is a pen.
Yep. That is a pen. That is correct. Definitely a pen. Okay, guys.
I thought it was an apple.
So turn to the book of Psalms, chapter 138, or I guess Psalm 138. I think there's some people that would have like an aneurysm if they heard me say book of Psalms, chapter 138. There's a problem. It's not Psalms chapter 38, it's Psalm 38. People get very upset with me. Anyways, so go to Psalm 138. While you guys are going there, obviously there is a very important holiday this week.
Hanukkah.
Black Friday.
Black Friday, yeah.
No, it's Red and Green Friday. That's the day we decorate.
Red and Green Friday?
Decorating today.
Jackson and I, we decorated our place for Christmas yesterday.
Red and Green Friday.
Yeah, for Christmas, yeah.
Yeah.
We have Red and Green Friday, and every day on Black Friday, we don't go shopping, we just decorate for Christmas.
Oh.
Honestly, man, Black Friday, it used to be worth it to go. Like, they had insane deals on everything. No, yeah, right? This sermon brought to you by... I swear, man. But anyways, but Thanksgiving is coming up, and we've all seen, have you guys seen the meme where it's like a holiday calendar, and it's the entire month of what comes before November? September?
October.
The entire, October? Okay, wait, so it's like the entire month of November, and it's like filled in Christmas, and then, I'm actually just going to draw this, because this is not something that I'm going to be able to represent verbally. So if you've ever seen these, where it's like, just in case anyone is confused about the calendar, all of November is Christmas, except for like the 2 days of Thanksgiving, and then December is Christmas.
There you go.
Right? So everyone really likes Christmas. Not really anyone cares about Thanksgiving at all.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's kind of telling of just the state of our culture at large. It's like, we're going to, you know, I'm looking forward to Christmas because I finally get all these presents and stuff. But Thanksgiving?
Giving?
Not into it, man. But personally, gratitude and Thanksgiving is something that's been very formative in my life. I have an uncle, and his name is Uncle Tony. And all growing up, I would see him all the time. And every time I saw him, he always told me, John, you need to be grateful. It's extremely important that as just the tone of your life, you are a grateful person, because grateful people are happy people. And people that are not grateful, it doesn't matter how much you give them, it doesn't matter what they have, it will never be enough because they're never grateful for what they have to begin with. Why would they be grateful when they get the next thing? And as a whole, I feel like our culture is very much marked by a lack of contentment. And out of curiosity, does anyone know what the 10th commandment is?
Be content.
It is not be content, but very, very similar. That is what I'm about to make a point about. The 10th commandment is do not covet. So... the 10th commandment is don't look at what someone else has and be jealous of them. Don't look at what someone else has and be like, hey, I should have that. And the opposite of that is contentment. The opposite of that is gratitude. Like, contentment is being happy, is being contentment with being okay with what you have, but gratitude is being excited about what you have. And we are supposed to be marked by gratitude as people. But we're going to be talking today about some of the reasons. Well, that's not exactly what we're talking about, but I think it's going to bring up some of the reasons that I think we aren't a very grateful culture. So we're talking about Psalm 138. And Psalm 138 is a Thanksgiving psalm. And when I say Thanksgiving psalm, I don't mean that, you know, David was sitting there in his palace thinking about the pilgrims arriving and then sharing a meal with the Indians, you know, in the colonies. It's not what David had in mind, but Thanksgiving as in like the concept of being grateful. And so when we talk about a Psalm of David, obviously God wrote the Psalms. Like, you know, David was writing in the spirit, as they say. So I'm not like trying to minimize that, but it's really valuable to think about who David was. Like, talk to me about David. What are some things about David? He was on the run for a lot of years. That's something that I think that we don't think about as often, but he spent a large portion of his early, or I guess middle years, running away from Saul, and then when he was an older man, he started running away from his son when he was trying to take over the kingdom. So David knows what it's like to be on the run. That's true. What's something else we know about David?
He killed Goliath.
He killed Goliath. Now, that was the one that I was expecting to hear first, but also, kudos that you knew about the On the Run stuff. I'm into that. He also killed Goliath. That's probably the thing that he's most well known for. Like, even non-Christians know the story of David and Goliath. What's something else about David?
He was a king.
He was a king. King David was, in fact, a king. And, in fact, David was a pretty important king, right? When we talk about Jesus in the New Testament, what's one of the things that people generally refer to him as?
Son of David.
Son of David. That is one of the most important titles that's given to Jesus as he's ministering on the earth. He's Son of David, Son of Man. And the Messiah, the Savior, is primarily identified as being in the line of David. Like, David's a pretty big deal. Even as you're, like, reading the Old Testament and it's talking about a king being good or bad, it's comparing them to David. Like, God talks about Jeroboam, which is the person that he gives the northern tribes of Israel to, and he says, "Yet you have not been like my servant David, who kept my commandments and followed me with all his heart, doing only that which was right in my eyes." Like, would you say David's a pretty cool guy? David's a pretty righteous guy? And the dude obviously had problems. We had an entire message on, you know, David and Bathsheba. But David as the whole is someone who's marked by worshipfulness and devotion. He's a man after God's own heart. Which, personally, if anything could be said about me, I hope that you can say, oh yeah, John, he was someone who cared about the things that God cared about. He was the person who was after God's own heart. Like, that's high praise. And that's who David was. Additionally, David wrote at least 75 of the Psalms. Like, a bunch of the Psalms are specifically labeled of David, but then there are more Psalms that in the New Testament are attributed to David. So we know that he wrote at least 75 of the Psalms. So what does that tell you about David?
A lot of time.
That is not necessarily how I'd represent that. But, like, I feel like generally when people think about David, you have two groups of people. There's people that understand that, like, David was essentially a warlord. He spent basically his entire life at war with people. And he was well known as a general. And, you know, there was an old saying that Saul has killed his thousands and David his 10,000s. Like, that was one of the things that went around about David when he was alive. At his time, he was not known as a psalmist. And yet, for us, we look back and we're like, okay, yeah, David, he was the psalmist. Like, David was an extraordinarily worshipful person. And it's not necessarily that he didn't have time on his, that he had too much time on his hands, as much as he carved out time to do this.
Discipline.
Yeah, discipline. But also, what do you care about? Like, think about the things that you do that whenever you have a spare moment, you do them. Like, maybe you, whenever you have a spare moment, you play Pokemon. But, like, we have those things. Each of us has those things that when we have a moment to steal away and do something, like, that's what we do. For David, that was this. David wrote poems. He wrote praises. He prayed. He meditated. He was a person that off in his field with all of his sheep, he was thinking about God. And he's like, man, I'm looking at these sheep that I'm tending. And he's like, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And he, like, his life was defined by the way he thought about God. And I think that it's valuable to look at, how does he give thanks? How does he think about gratitude? How does he think about his relationship with God and the way that God provides for him? Because this is definitely, like, the fact that this is in the Bible is enough. But when you put this psalm in the context of David's life, how does someone who spent half of their life getting chased down by people trying to kill them, how can he still be grateful? How does that person think about it? How does someone who spent a bunch of time with a bunch of sheep just working a menial job that no one thought very highly of, how does he relate to God and think about God? How does someone that God identifies as a man after his own heart, how does someone who has experienced loneliness and was elevated to being a king, how does someone who has known what righteousness is, how does someone who has known what sin is, how does someone who has repented and functioned in all the ways that David has, how does that person give thanks? Because this psalm is in the context of David's life. And I think that it's really cool for us to see, like, okay, this is something that we can emulate. So the thing about Psalms is that Psalms are extraordinarily deep. I would like to take the entire Psalm of 8 verses, but we're only going to get through 3 because I'm not going to be here for an hour and a half. I think you'd hate me afterward. But we're going to read Psalm 138, 1 through 3, and let's just talk about what should Thanksgiving look like. So I'm just going to read it, but it says, I give you thanks, O Lord, with my whole heart. Before the gods, I sing your praise. I bow down toward your holy temple, and I give thanks to your name for your steadfast love and your faithfulness. For you have exalted above all things your name and your word. On the day I called, you answered me. My strength of soul you increased. So that's what we're going to be talking about today. And I just want to dive into the first thing. But the first thing is that we give thanks to God, and we do it heartily. We give thanks to God, and we do it heartily. Which, that's not what my board says, but that's what your handout says, because I didn't have enough space. So the first thing is that it really matters who you give thanks to. David, he opens and he says, I give you thanks, O Lord, with my whole heart. Because the issue is, this is part of the reason that I think our culture does not actually care about Thanksgiving. This is part of the reason that I think that we minimize it as a whole, and part of the reason that I think we're an extraordinarily like discontent people as a whole, is that we've lost the notion of giving thanks to. You know what I mean? Because you get, we've all been in Thanksgiving celebrations. What do you guys typically do like around the Thanksgiving table? Yeah.
Talk about politics.
Not what I was going for, but I think that's true as well. Talk about problems. Oh my goodness. So did any of you guys like ever go around the table and everyone talks about what they're thankful for?
We tried to once.
We tried to once. Oh my goodness. Things have changed since I was your age. Apparently a little bit. I mean, I'm sure that that's probably way more common of an experience than anyone would like. It's like, but we've been there. We go around, we give thanks. Have you guys ever been at Thanksgiving celebration with like non-Christians where they did the same thing? Because I was around plenty of Thanksgiving tables where people who weren't Christians, they were part of that circle and they were talking about what they were thankful for. But have you ever like listened to an atheist talk about, oh, how blessed they are? It's like, I'm having a real blessed day. Or someone talking about like, man, I'm really grateful that like my car got fixed or that didn't break down. I was worried about my brakes or whatever. Like, have you ever heard those kinds of things? And you're like, okay, but blessed by who? You're thankful, but thankful to who? And the issue is this, that when you're grateful, but you're not grateful to someone, you're not actually grateful. Like, Thanksgiving without an object is not Thanksgiving. And I want you to imagine that like you're hanging out at home and your dad, he gives you this gift and you're super excited about this gift. And you're like, you can't even express it with words. Like, I don't know, did either of you guys ever get a car when you turned 16? Do any of you guys know someone who got a car when they turned 16?
I'm gonna get the black car.
Nice. So I feel like I've met some people who like their parents actually give them a car when they turn 16, but I want you to imagine like what that would feel like. Or I guess if you wouldn't want a car, imagine something else. Like, what's the coolest thing that you'd want, Alex?
A car?
Perfect. Imagine that your parents gave you a car. How excited would you be?
Very excited.
Very excited. Like, it's not even just that you're excited, like thankful, but like you can't even express how thankful you are, kind of thing, right? So imagine that your parents give you that gift, and then after that's happened, you're like holding the keys in your hand. You can't even contain yourself, and you're like, man, I'm really grateful that this car kind of just popped out of the ether. Boy, am I glad.
What?
I'm really thankful for this car. Thank you, universe, for giving me this car. Like, what do you imagine the reaction of your parents would be in that situation? Give me those keys back. It's like, yeah, it's like, what? But a lot of times that's exactly the kind of thing that we see where people are like, man, I'm really thankful for XYZ, but it's like, you're not thanking God though. Thankful, but thankful to who? To the unit. Yeah, right? So the object of your gratitude is actually really important. It's important that you're thanking the right person. You should be thanking God. He is the one who gave you the gifts that you have in your life. But beyond that, you should be thanking God heartily. It says, I give thanks to you, O Lord, with my whole heart. And like, God hasn't just given you a few things, but God's given you everything you have, right? So imagine the same thing. Have you guys ever been at Starbucks and like they give you the drink and then you grab it and you're like, oh, thanks, and then you walk out the door? Mm-hmm. Are you like really bursting with gratitude when you thank them for that drink? Not really, right? And I'm not saying that that's a problem. I'm not saying that, like, oh, you need to be on your knees crying that they gave you a latte and they actually made it right.
I think they call it police. They're like,
we have a lunatic here. But, like, that kind of thing where you just kind of, like, it's just a polite thing that you do. You're not actually grateful. That's not how you're supposed to thank God. And a lot of times I feel like that might be how you thank God. Like, or when I say you, I mean us and me. No, yeah, but, like, one of the problems that maybe we have is, like, we just open a prayer and we're like, Lord, thank you for giving us this day. Thank you. Thank you that you let us eat this food. Thank you for giving us a family. And then you move on. And it's, like, it's not really that you're thankful about that. It's that you, like, that's what you're supposed to say in a prayer kind of thing. And that's not at all the way that David went about it. Like, he's talking, I give thanks to you with my whole heart. And that's important. So it's important who you give thanks to. It's important how you give thanks. But I want to revisit the entire idea of the object. Romans 1:21, it says, for even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their speculations and their foolish heart was darkened. So Paul's describing non-Christians and kind of non-Christian cultures and systems. And the first thing he says is they didn't give thanks to God. One of the defining characteristics of a godless society is that there's a lack of gratitude to God for the things that they have. And if we're Christians, what defines a non-Christian should exactly not define us. Like, if what defines a non-Christian is the fact that they are not grateful to God for the things that they have, then what should define a Christian is that we are so grateful for the things that God gives us. Because God gives us everything. In James, it says that every good gift comes down from above, from the Father of lights, in whom there is no shifting shadow. Like, everything you have is from God. And so there should be gratitude there. You should be thanking him. And one of the defining characteristics of a Christian should be gratitude. And David even kind of demonstrates that, because the next thing he says is, before the gods, I sing your praise. Which? First thoughts. What does that make you feel? The fact that he just said, before the gods, I give you praise. Is that weird at all?
Before the... Very strange.
Phone a friend kind of thing? Why?
Because we don't believe in any other gods.
That's right. So that's kind of a weird thing. It's like, in the inspired pages of Scripture, what is David talking about? But I want to talk to you guys about this. So there is another psalm that talks about that, where it actually is a bit harder than this one, but this one's a bit easier. So where does David live?
In Jerusalem.
Yeah. So in Israel, what are they surrounded by? Like, what is the country of Israel surrounded by?
A wall.
It's actually not. So Jerusalem, yeah, because you have to defend the city, but the nation, no. So what's all around Israel? Other
people who don't like them.
Other people who don't like them. That is true, even now and even back then. But with those other people who don't like Israel, what else do they like?
Other gods.
Other gods. That's right. And actually, one of the things about David, when he was on the run from Saul, he went and he lived with the Philistines. So David was living with one of those godless people as a Jew, and so he knows what it's like to be surrounded by people who are worshiping idols, which we also know what that's like. We're not surrounded by a culture that, like, has idols up on their door and then they, like, pray to that idol and they leave food out for it to eat, you know, as often as they would have back then. But we're still around a bunch of people who aren't Christians. We're around a bunch of people who believe in false religions. Like, we are around Muslims, we're around Mormons, we're around Jehovah's Witnesses, we're around all, like, I could kind of go on. We live in a culture where that's true, like, where we can relate to this. And so when he's saying, before the gods, I sing your praise. Have you guys ever been in a situation where, like, you're around a bunch of non-Christians and it kind of makes you kind of shrink a bit? Like, you don't really want to talk about God. Maybe you were reading your Bible, but then you see your teacher come in and you just put it away. Or, like, you were praying, but then you stopped because you were around all of these other people that are kind of against that. Like, do you know what I'm talking about, at least?
No.
Like, that's kind of the thing that David's talking about, where David is surrounded by people who are worshiping false gods, and he's like, yo, that's not going to stop me. In the words of Spurgeon, he has a commentary on this, and he says, it would be paying these dead idols too much respect to cease singing because they were perched aloft. Which, that's like, that's some weird English, you know, from a while back. But essentially what he's saying is, if I walk into a room and there's like a piece of wood in the corner, and I'm like, oh, I'm sorry, piece of wood, I don't want to offend you by praying to God or anything. Like, what would that kind of demonstrate? That's a bit of a lack of respect for God, wouldn't you say? It's like, God, I care about you, but not enough to pray to you because there's a block of wood in that corner. But now let's like change it a bit and let's carve that block of wood into a Buddha statue. And now you're like in the middle of, I don't know, what are those called? A temple?
Yeah.
Like you're in the middle of a Buddhist temple. Are you going to now, because that block of wood is in the shape of a fat man, like now you're going to stop and now it's okay? You know, right? Like, and that's kind of the issue, is it's like the idols aren't real. The gods aren't real, right? Other false religions, they're not real. They're pieces of fiction. And when you stop worshiping God because of the pressure that you're getting from non-Christians, what does that demonstrate? It demonstrates unfaithfulness. Yeah. It demonstrates that you care more what those other people think of you than you do what God thinks of you. And David is so grateful that in the middle of the Philistine camp, in the middle of when he's getting chased around by Saul, which I don't actually know when this psalm was written, but maybe. Like in the middle of that, David's like, I don't care. I am still going to think about you, God. I am still going to thank you for your kindnesses in my life. I am still going to sing your praises, even if everyone around me hates me for it. I don't care. I'm going to do it anyways. And it's like, that's the kind of gratitude he has, where even if you tried, you couldn't stop David from giving thanks to God. But how often does that not define us or our culture? You know, we have an entire holiday devoted to being like remembering God's goodness to you throughout the year and giving thanks to him for it, and we smother that in presents. It's Christmas season. Bloop, Thanksgiving. Back to Christmas. You know what I mean? Like, this is not something that we care about. This isn't something that we give attention to. But it matters. It matters a lot. And now, in verse 2, it says, I bow down towards your holy temple. So David is thinking about God, and in any situation, his mind is naturally wandering to where God is. Like the temple, this is in direct contrast to before the gods. So when I'm surrounded by a bunch of idols, when I'm surrounded by a bunch of false religions, I'm going to think about God's temple. My mind is still going to be where God is. And one of the cool things about this is that at the time that David lived, the temple hadn't been built yet. Which, is there anything like that for us that maybe we're going to be thinking about even though it's not here yet?
Second coming.
Second coming. Yeah, heaven, the end of the world. Absolutely. Our mind goes to God's holy temple in heaven, right? And it's worship God's way. So I'm going to burn through the rest of this because we're getting low on time. But we need to give thanks for God's character and provision. Because it's like, okay, we've talked about how we're supposed to give thanks, but what are you supposed to be thankful for? And it says, and I give thanks to your name for your steadfast love and your faithfulness. Which, when we talk about that, another translation says your faithfulness and your truth. So when we look at this, it's like God is a good God. God's a really good God, right? We don't worship and serve some vindictive monster who hates us. We serve someone who loves us so much that he sent his own son to die so that we didn't have to. Like, we worship and serve a God that burned and experienced all of the hells that we deserved so that we could be in heaven with him. Like, we don't worship a God that we need to feed and serve and take care of. We worship a God that takes care of us. And everything else that we do is just gratitude for that. Like, it's not like you have to worship God in a certain way to get into heaven. He's already paid the price for your entry. Everything that we do as Christians isn't us trying to get into heaven. Everything that we do as Christians is saying, God, you're letting me in. You're letting me have a relationship with you. Thank you. Like, the Christian life is a very, like, fat thank you, is a kind of a way that you could think about it. So Thanksgiving's important because you're essentially your entire life is Thanksgiving. God, I am so grateful for what you've given me that I'm going to live for you. I'm so grateful for what you've given me that I'm going to give you everything. I am so grateful for what you've given me that I'm never going to finish telling you how grateful I am. Like, that's what being a Christian is. At the core of what we do, it's gratitude for what God's given us, not trying to earn our way in. And that's a good thing. We don't serve a dead idol. We don't serve a block of wood that's carved up and put in the corner. We don't serve something that's vindictive or hateful. We serve God. And that's something that you can be really grateful for. Like, that's kind of awesome. But then he goes on and it says, "For you have exalted above all things your name and your word." And so when it's talking about giving thanks to your name, he kind of bookends this section with your name. And your name, it has to do with more than just like, oh, J-O-H-N. Right? Like when you talk about, for example, oh, you give Christians a bad name. Like, it's talking about your reputation. A person's name encompasses everything about them. So it's saying give thanks to God for who he is. God's a good God. But beyond that, it says, on the day I called, you answered me, and the strength of soul you increased. So what's that in reference to? David's saying that God did what?
Say that again.
On the day I called, you answered me. My strength of soul you increased. What is David essentially saying? If you were to put that into really simple terms.
That God answered his prayer.
That is exactly right. David is thanking God that he answers prayer. Which, prayer is kind of a major thing to be grateful for. Like, there is no one that you can essentially just walk into their house and be like, hey, I don't know what you're doing right now, but now you're listening to me talk. Like, you can't mosey into the Oval Office and just be like, what's up, President Biden? I don't know what you're doing today, but now you're taking a break so I can tell you about my life. By the way, I'm going to ask you for some things. I'm going to vent a little bit. Thanks for giving me your time. Like, you couldn't do that. But God is significantly more important than the president. Like, God's significantly more important than anyone else. In Ecclesiastes, it says, let your words be few before God, for he is God and you are man. And, like, when Ecclesiastes, when the person's thinking about just life and he's like, man, why? But in Hebrews, it says we can boldly approach the throne of grace. At any time of the day, no matter what's going on, no matter what you're doing, you can talk to God. And more than just listening to you, he'll answer you. And that's major. Like, a piece of advice that was given to me and that I think is a very good piece of advice is keep track of your prayers. When you pray for something, write it down. And then look back later and see the ways that God answers. Because a lot of times I know that personally, I pray for things and I forget about them. And so I don't remember when God answers them. And when you actually keep track of the way that God answers prayer, it's kind of insane. And it will fuel your gratitude. So, all that. There's a lot more that I could say, but I'm not going to because time. But we've got a good God, man. We've got a God that is worth giving thanks to. We have a lot to be grateful for. And not like gratefulness to the ether, but gratefulness to God. Gratefulness to the person who's actually given us the gifts that we have. Like, we've got a lot to be grateful for, and we should be. Our lives should be defined by gratitude, because essentially the Christian life is a massive thank you note to God. So, with that, I'm going to pray. We can talk about it briefly, and then... Lord, thank you for who you are. Thank you for the fact that you've given us so much. You've given us your word. You've given us your son. You've given us life. You've given us every good gift that we have. And it's so easy for us to just live life and move past it and not think about it. But Lord, I pray that we wouldn't do that. I pray that we would recognize the gifts that you give us and recognize who you are, and that the result of that would be gratitude, that we would be a grateful people, that instead of just skirting past Thanksgiving to get onto the way of, you know, what we actually want, that we would genuinely take some time to think about who you are and what you've given us, but that that wouldn't just be something we do on Thanksgiving, but that that would be the pattern of our life. And Lord, I pray these things in the name of our King Jesus Christ. Amen. Yeah.